RadioMD.com. Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robson, founder of EmpowHer.com, cut through the confusion to discuss all things her. This is Her Radio on Radio MD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. All right, we're going to nip procrastination in the bud. As you know, Dr. Tim Pitchell is our go-to expert on procrastination. He is internationally renowned, one of the top researchers in the field, and oh boy, has he got the best book. It's like a Bible. I love it. Solving the Procrastination Puzzle. Run out, get it. Also, Google his name, Dr. Tim Pitchell, P-Y-C-H-Y-L. Listen to every podcast he's got and his blogs on Psychology Today. He's just awesome and a great teacher. Dr. Pitchell, welcome to Her Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Pam.
All right, one more time. Now, let's just quickly define what procrastination is, and then let's do some wonderful tips, tools, and techniques that our Her Radio listeners can immediately dive into to be able to reach their goals.
All right. Well, that procrastination is an emotion-focused coping strategy. We're putting something off voluntarily that we know we should be doing, that we've set an intention for, and we're quite aware that it's going to come at a cost. And that's what makes procrastination different from other forms of delay. So we have to first recognize that big emotional component, because that's the thing that causes so much resistance. That's the thing that keeps us from wanting to start, that creates a real boogeyman of, I can't deal with this. Now, it's interesting that present self is overwhelmed with all these emotions, but we look at future self like some sort of superwoman. Future self can do anything. And we've learned from research, some excellent research by Hal Hirschfield down at UCLA, that when he put people into a functional MRI machine where he's examining blood flow in the brain, trying to see, well, what's cooking in here? What's working when you think about your present self? What part of the brain's working when you're thinking about future self? We actually think about future self more like a stranger. And you can see that in the way we treat future self. Oh yeah, future self can do it. The end of the week, future self can do it. So in some of our research recently, we've been looking at how do we bridge that gap between present self and future self. Now, Hal Hirschfield has done research to show we can bridge the gap thinking about older future self, and you're more likely to save for retirement, for example. So if I show you a digitally aged picture of yourself at age 60, you're more likely to go, oh yeah, gee, I better put some money away. But for us, when we're thinking about procrastination, we want to think about future self at the end of the day, future self at the end of the week when things aren't done. And in our latest study, we've shown that if we can have people think about future self more clearly, they develop more cognitive empathy. They start understanding that future self is actually going to suffer for this. And whenever we're empathetic towards someone else, and in this case, ourself, we act in their favor. So all of a sudden, present self steps up and does the task, as opposed to saying, oh no, manana, future self can do it. So knowing that we treat future self like this is all part of understanding why it is we do this totally irrational thing.
I love it. And I'm going to tell you how I put future self together, because you know, I've memorized your book, Solving the Procrastination Puzzle. It's pretty crazy, because I love putting these tips, tools, and techniques to work. So for my future self, one of the things I did was I came from the school of hard knocks with procrastination. Oh, boy. You know, all of us have been there, right? You feel so rotten when there you are suddenly cramming it all in at the last minute, swearing you'll never do this again to yourself. You've lost sleep. You feel rotten. You're having a bad case of shoulda, coulda, woulda, and it just goes on. And all I have to do when I'm thinking about my future self, I do a little mini future self. I say to myself, how will I feel when I have just bitten, you know, the bullet and just started whatever it is? Just started it. And then, you know, was able to accomplish what I could. For instance, you know, if I'm going to clean off my desk, clean up my office, whatever, organize something. These are all things that are kind of not fun. All right. But I have to get them done. So my future self, I divide up into little future selves, little mini ones. And I say to myself, I'm going to feel so good and I will avoid feeling rotten. Because I know how that feels. Been there, done that. And I never want to feel like that again. And I'm going to tell you, that works. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but I'll bet you the most provocative thing you've said for listeners is that you procrastinate. Like, you've got 3 best-selling books, you're a doctor, you've got a radio show. I'm thinking people probably see you as some sort of superwoman. And the same thing I get when I give lectures, I'll say, you know, I have to use these techniques that I'm talking about every single day. I might, for example, be facing writing a letter of reference for a student, which is a high-stakes job because the student's depending on a good letter and I have to do a fair bit of work. And so it's something I might want to put off. It's like, I don't want to do it. It's like cleaning my desk. So I have to use all the same strategies of, okay, what would be the first action I'd take if I was going to write this letter, but I'm not going to write this letter? I'd say, well, I'd have to open up the email the student sent and see to whom it's going to be addressed. And then I say, I can do that. It's just like you facing your desk. Okay, that desk is just overwhelming. Or a basement. Imagine a whole basement. We have all got them. Basements, garages. We say, oh my God, look at that. But just pick one spot and start to do something. And absolutely,
exactly.
the world changes at that point. Of course, you're not necessarily going to get it all done. But how are you going to feel, as you said, when you make progress? We know from research that progress fuels well-being. And so if you can put your focus there and know that without this, I'm going to feel awful. Instead, I have the tools in my hands to feel great in 20 minutes. That's a great.
Well, you know, I was once told by a very wise, very, very successful business guy, who I've worked with for years. He once looked at me and he said, "I'm going to give you a little word of advice." Just, you know, in general, because we were looking at a real disaster business situation that we were both advising on. He said, boy, this should never have happened. And he says, because stuff wasn't done, procrastinated, etc. And he said, listen to this. I love this, Tim. See if you like it. You got to do what you don't want to do in order to do what you do want to do.
You know, Viktor Frankl, who spent time in concentration camps in Nazi Germany, in his own autobiography wrote about procrastination. And I was surprised by that because the man has so many other things to write about. And he said, I learned to do the important stuff early, so the stuff I don't want to do, so I have time for the important things in life. And so for me, with my children, I'm Mr. Mom. I've done a reduced time appointment so I can have more time with my children. I never want to look at them at the end of the day and say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. I have work to do, because I put it off, right? You're doing things up front because it's buying you time later. And it's a great feeling to really have that time, as opposed to be doing things and have that nagging feeling of, yeah, but I didn't do the important stuff today. So I get it. I love it. It's right on.
I love it. And, you know, I know that one of the most important things you just said, on the overall, is that you're buying time for the future. I love that. In other words, by doing what you're doing right now, you actually free up more time. And so what you're really doing, the way I like to look at it, from reading your work and putting it to work myself, is that it gifts me. I'm giving myself a gift of the one thing that is so priceless in all of our lives, time.
Yep, it's and, the you know, only it's non-renewable resource. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing
You go.
It's a non-renewable resource in our lives. You can't get it back. And the other thing, that gift comes without guilt, when we haven't put the elephant that's on the table into the radio show yet, which is the biggest emotion associated with procrastination is guilt. And what a terrible place to live. So not only are you giving yourself the gift of time, but you're giving yourself, you're getting that monkey off your back.
Right. And there you have it. So I want everyone to know, we've been talking to our wonderful Dr. Tim Pitchell, who is a renowned expert and researcher in procrastination. His book is Solving the Procrastination Puzzle. And that Pitchell name is P as in Paul, Y-C-H-Y-L. Google him. Listen to every single thing he does. He is fantastic. And he's also helping us with a year-long Her Radio campaign for change and action. You can do this out there. All right, buy the book. Thank you, Dr. Pitchell, for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you got a question for Ask Her, email askher@radiomd.com. Stay well.